Chapter 14, The Foundation of Kaiuroo, 1933 to 1959. This is the first of three chapters dealing with St. Xavier's on Kaiuroo Island. Kaiuroo, a mountainous island in the Shuten group, is clearly visible from the coastal town of Wewak, about 18 kilometres distant. Mount Malangus, 940 metres, the highest point on the backbone range of the island, towers over much of the lower Mushu Island to the south. Roughly oval-shaped, Kaiuroo is about 15 kilometres long and 6 kilometres wide. In the mountains, there is a large lake, the source of some of the island's biggest streams, and the focus of many traditional legends and beliefs. Kaiuroo has a population of approximately 5,000 in about 10 main coastal villages. The island is quite rugged, with steep slopes rising to the mountains, small areas of gently sloping coastal plain, numerous permanent fast-flowing streams, rocky headlands interspersed with sandy beaches and bays, and precipitous cliffs on the northern coast. Few people live far from the coast, there being only a few small hamlets at higher altitudes. Similar to the entire Sepik region of Papua New Guinea, Kaiuroo enjoys two main seasons, named after the prevailing winds. The Talio, the northwest monsoon, and the Rai, the southeast monsoon. The Talio, from December to March, brings most of the island's 3,500 mm annual rainfall. The Rai season is characterized by tropical storms. A major earthquake, 7.6 on the Richter scale, struck the island and surrounding areas on 9 September 2002. Resulting in an uplift which raised the island by 30 centimetres in some parts. Four people died as a result of the quake and the tsunami which followed. Fish populations around the island have increased since the earthquake, resulting in more commercial fishing in the area. St. Xavier's colourful beginning. From 1884 to 1914, Kaiuroo was part of German-controlled Wilhelmsland, or German New Guinea. What became St. Xavier's High School began as a small catechetical school at Marange, near Boiken, 30 kilometres west of Wewak, in 1932. Tok Pisin was the language used for instruction. The German Divine Word missionary, Father Andreas Müller, who ran the school from 1933, found that his young charges too frequently drifted back to their villages. In an attempt to make such unscheduled home visits more difficult, he decided, in 1936, to move the school to Kaiuroo Island, where Bishop Lurks had set up his mission headquarters at what is now St. John's, about 3 kilometres west of St. Xavier's. 8 years earlier, in 1928, Bishop Lurks became the first bishop of central New Guinea, the Wewak area west of the Sepik River, after the division of the East New Guinea vicariate centred on Alexishaven. The mission purchased 60 acres, 24 hectares, of land on what is now the present site of St. Xavier's. The property slopes gently from the foothills of the mountain to the ocean. The upper section belonged to the people of nearby Shem village, while the people of Shokolal village on Mushu owned the lower section, which was partly covered with a sago palm plantation. Müller, assisted by two Holy Spirit sisters, conducted the school on Kaiuroo from 1936 until his work was fatefully ended by the Japanese landing on Kaiuroo during the Second World War. Brother Patroclus Appeldorn, a versatile German SVD brother, was Father Mueller's right-hand man, manager, builder, handyman, gardener, prefect of students, even artist and musician. His contribution to the mission was enormous. The Japanese arrived on Kaiuroo just before Christmas in 1942. Soon after, they brought most of the Sepik missionaries to the island. At first, the Japanese treated the missionaries well, but within months, Japanese losses at sea increased because of the intelligence supplied by coast watchers hidden in the mountains behind Wewak. The Japanese, however, suspected the missionaries, most of whom were German, and arranged for their immediate deportation. In March 1943, the Japanese destroyer Akikaze Maru arrived in Kaiuroo. The bishop, his priests, brothers and sisters were ordered aboard, and the Akikaze set sail for Rabaul. During that voyage, on 17 March 1943, the order was given to execute all the prisoners. One by one, the prisoners were blindfolded, suspended by rope above the stern of the ship, killed by a machine gun burst, and their bodies dropped into the ocean. In the course of 3 hours that afternoon, 39 missionaries from Central New Guinea, including Bishop Lurks and Father Mueller, with 20 others, lost their lives. In all, more than 120 SVD missionaries and Holy Spirit sisters died in New Guinea as a direct result of the war. As the war progressed, US bombs obliterated the Japanese base on Kaiuroo, St. Xavier's and St. John's, which incorporated regional headquarters, hospital, and seaplane base. The war bombing spared only one of Patroclus's buildings, which, although severely damaged, was repaired and later used by the Marist brothers for many years. Brother Patroclus was not among the war casualties. By a stroke of luck, just before the Japanese invasion, he had left Kaiuroo for a Christmas break at Marienburg on the Sepik, where the SVD brothers operated a large sawmill. He led a remarkable evacuation of 14 priests, brothers and sisters by means of an arduous 3-week trek from the Sepik to Mount Hagen in the New Guinea Highlands. From there, they were evacuated to Australia until the war ended. Patroclus was able to return to New Guinea, where he helped to rebuild St. Xavier's after its complete destruction by United States bombing. Post-war reconstruction. Bishop Lurk's replacement was Leo Arkfeld, an American from Nebraska, who, as a young priest, volunteered to come to New Guinea when the war was at its height in 1943. From boyhood days, Father Arkfeld had been fascinated by aviation and always wanted to be a pilot. His dream was realized when he arrived in New Guinea and was appointed parish priest of the large parish of Lae. He immediately realized the advantage of using mission planes to minister to the needs of his far-flung villages. Gaining his pilot's license in 1948, he was appointed the same year as the new bishop of Central New Guinea, where he became known as the Flying Bishop. One of his first decisions was to appoint Patroclus to Kaiuroo, where the ruins of St. Xavier's were overgrown by jungle. The bishop later appointed Father Frank Mihalik, SVD, to join Patroclus and to resurrect the catechist school. With the assistance of Brother Joe Schubeck, SVD, Patroclus and his team of workers gradually rebuilt St. Xavier's, which reopened late in 1948. Within a year, there were more than 100 students, with Mihalik and Patroclus their teachers. Mihalik taught English, mathematics, and catechism, while Patroclus handled the practical subjects, workshop skills, and agriculture. A favourite weekend activity was to scour the bush around the school for wartime relics and treasures. Useful items, such as rolls of electric cable, several kilometres of it, serviceable diesel motors, generators, electrical fittings, searchlights, and drums of fuel were recovered, along with artillery and ammunition. Using the war materials, Patroclus set up a generator which provided the school with electric lighting long before that service became available in Wewak town. A great benefactor of the school at that time was Agnes Yakok, who later became a teacher at Bowar Village, 3 kilometres east of St. Xavier's. A remarkable woman, Agnes was a great supporter of and a hard worker for the school over many years. The relative isolation of the island and consequent communication difficulties were always a problem, but air transport proved to be a boon. Encouraged by the Flying Bishop, Mihailik, Patroclus and their helpers constructed an airstrip which ran from the beach uphill for about 400 metres. It was officially opened in January 1950. Lined with colourful croton plants to mark its boundary, the neat airstrip became a landmark and an important facility for ready access to the mainland. St. John's Seminary opened on Kaiuroo in 1952. Mihailik wanted the seminary located at St. Xavier's campus, but the founding rector, African-American SVD Father Clarence Howard, had other ideas. St. John's Seminary was constructed 3 kilometres away at Baragan, the site of the former mission headquarters. Among the seminary staff were Father Francis Swift and Father Ray Callis, who later became Bishop of Wewak. In December 1953, Mihailik was diagnosed with tuberculosis and returned to the United States for treatment for 18 months. A succession of SVD headmasters followed until the arrival of the Marist brothers in 1959. Patroclus continued on at St. Xavier's until 1954 and then worked in several other parishes around the CPIC. A gregarious character and popular wherever he went, Patroclus returned to Germany in his later years, where he died at the age of 94. Invitation to the Marist Brothers. It is said that Agnes Yakok was dissatisfied with the frequent staff changes after Mihailik left, and approached Bishop Arkfeld with a £5 note, a large amount of money in the 1950s, asking him to use the money to buy some teaching brothers for the school. Whether that happened, and if it did, whether the bishop was influenced by Agnes's gesture, are uncertain. The bishop had realised that if his mission schools were to meet the post-war government requirements and thus become eligible for the new school subsidy, they would need support from fully qualified teachers. He began to seek out a teaching order, and during a visit to Australia, he made contact with the Marist superiors, requesting brothers to staff St. Xavier's Kaiuroo. The Melbourne province, since its inception in 1948, had been open to the idea of establishing a mission school, so they gave serious consideration to Bishop Arkfeld's invitation. The provincial, Brother Damien Willis, visited the territory of Papua New Guinea in August 1957. Stopping over at Rabaul, he spent 5 days with the Marist community there, familiarising himself with both the Sacred Heart School and the teacher training school conducted by the Christian Brothers at Vuvu. Damien's interest in Vuvu was prompted by Bishop Arkfeld's request for Kaiuroo to be developed into a teacher training college. On Damien's arrival in Wewak, Bishop Arkfeld welcomed him warmly and took him on a tour of the diocese, culminating in a visit to Kaiuroo, where he saw St. Xavier's, St. John's, and other parts of the island. Damien's journey was described in the October 1959 edition of the Marist Brothers Australian publication, Marist Monthly. Quote, "The place they are offering us is Kaiuroo, an island about 11 miles from Weewak. It's about 8 miles long and 6 wide, and is dominated by a mountain 3,000 feet high. At the moment, there is a native school on the island, and also a seminary for native priests. The fathers wish us to take over the school and develop it into a teacher training centre. All teaching is done in English. The island has a lot to recommend it. There is an abundance of fresh water and food is plentiful. The scenery is very fine, the climate is not severe, and mosquitoes give very little trouble. If there are sufficient brothers willing to undertake the hard life of the missionary, the mission may be open towards the end of 1958. Brother Damien will be pleased to hear from those interested. The bishop visits most of his stations by plane." Damien received many volunteers, in his words, all of them top notchers, from whom Brother Baptist Faulkner and Canute Sheehan were selected to found the Marist Brothers community on Kaiuroo. The two brothers spent some months preparing for their mission. Their preparations included courses on Sepik culture and first aid, a trip to Sydney to speak with Brother Borgia Conlon, who had just returned from Bougainville, and the gathering together of a small cargo of goods to be used in the school. There were personal preparations as well, included being fitted for smart white coats, which, in spite of their light colour, were never actually worn on Kaiuroo, being quite unsuitable for the climate. Arrival. In December 1958, the brothers of the Melbourne province, in a gathering at Assumption College, Kilmore, farewelled the two intrepid missionaries. It was the first time the province sent missionaries to another country. Brother Baptist tells the story of a telegram he received from the provincial, Brother Damien, requesting that the brothers delay their departure for Kaiuroo until Damien had a chance to see them. Sadly, Damien, who had been ill, died rather suddenly in Adelaide on 31 December 1958, before he had the requested meeting. The two brothers never discovered the purpose behind Damien's telegram. With no provincial to consult, Baptist and Canute travelled as scheduled to Sydney from where their ship, MV Malekula, carrying about 12 passengers, departed on 19 January 1959. After a stopover in Port Moresby, the Malekula arrived in Rabaul on 2 February, where, for 2 days, the brothers stayed with the Rabaul community. They arrived in Weewak a few days later. Canute remembers the welcome by Bishop Arkfeld and their enthusiasm to get to the island and begin work at the school. Quote, "I am not too sure who actually met us, but pretty soon we were shaking hands with the bishop. Of course, true Marist brothers, we wanted to get over to St. Xavier's fast. We had come to start a school, then run a school, and that's our job. So we wanted to do it 5 minutes later. The bishop was a lovely fellow. He told us, no worries, wait for a day or two, get the feel of things. We were chafing at the bit, you know. We'd come to start a school, so let's get cracking. Finally, he got fed up with our walking into his office and saying, when are we going?" End of quote. Some days later, the bishop himself flew the two brothers to the island in the mission plane. Baptist recalls the flight. Quote, "The bishop flew us across to Kaiuroo. The airstrip was just wide enough for two wheels, about 10 feet wide. There was barely sufficient room to stop the plane. Later, I saw pilots do a turn at the end of the strip as a way of stopping their plane. The bishop himself was a most experienced pilot. He was able to put his plane down in places where we would not be willing to drive a horse and cart. One of the first things we did was to widen the strip at Kaiuroo. It wasn't possible to lengthen it, but we did widen it. Ordinary precautions, smiled the bishop, indicating the safety belts of the Cessna 180 as we boarded at the airstrip at Wirriwi Mission Headquarters. Something of the thrill of an adventure into a new world overcame us as we banked over Wewak and headed towards the high mountainous island to be known as Our Island. The colour of the coral-studded waters was inspiring and ever-changing. Mushu, below us, with its extensive coconut plantations and dotted with villages, held our attention momentarily. But it was the 4,000 feet high volcanic island ahead on which our thoughts continually centred. How to put the plane down safely on a strip 10 feet wide and a few hundred yards long was a problem to be resolved only by an expert and experienced pilot. 43 happy native boys in red lap-laps clapped and smiled at us as the aircraft came to a halt. The same afternoon, 9 February 1959, we were teaching these boys, divided into two classes, and struggling with their names. End of quote. That quote is taken from the St. Ildefonsus College, New Norcia, Western Australian magazine, 1962. Canute describes the arrival. Anyway, we got out of the plane. Mine was the first Marist foot on Kaiuroo, and we stand there like two monuments. There are about 44 kids at that stage, standing there in awe at these great educationalists beamed back at them. Our coats weren't there, but we still had our long trousers and our famous topless shoes. Present also was the doctor, Father Liebert. I'm pretty sure Father Kalis and Father Swift had come over there from St. John's, 3 kilometres along the coast at the seminary there. So there we were. At the airstrip, the sago plantation was down near the beach. There was a dormitory nearby, but nothing else on that level except a row of bush toilets. The other buildings were up the slope. End of quote. These two men, different in so many ways, had arrived at Kaiuroo to form the first Marist Brothers community on mainland New Guinea. They were to be an effective team as they began to develop a Marist school over the ensuing years.